You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, I bring you greetings. I was traveling last week in Boston, gathered there for what we called the Healthy Church Builders Conference, which was the first one they've ever done as the Boston Church hosted it. It was really encouraging to be there. There were over 700 ministry staff from all over the world that gathered to learn how do we build holistic, healthy, growing churches in today's society. And there is a lot of sparks of hope and health. So I bring you greetings from all over the world. It was great to be together. I got to see Ken Chow from up in Sacramento, which was really awesome. Got to see lots of brothers and sisters from all over the world. The churches that are connected to our fellowship from Australia sent like 40 different ministry staff. I was like, wow, that's a long flight. It was great and encouraging to see how much faith is getting built. Amen. And so I hope to give a little bit of a taste of that to you today, but it's great to be together, and I want to begin with a word of prayer to open our hearts deeply to what God has in store for us. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thank you so much for gathering us this morning, for allowing us to arrive to worship you here at the Westside Church. Father, thank you for all those that if it's their very first time or they've been coming for 30 years, you have a plan for their life. Father, help us to receive your message, to understand your will. Father, thank you for how you're blessing locally and all over the world. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so last week, CJ did a lesson called Love That Grows, which is a follow-up to the lesson before that, where we had a guest speaker, Jeff Walling from Pepperdine, come on in, and he did a lesson about how love needs to step across the line. And we're going through a series of how God's love is revealed through the book of Acts, in particular, our theme for 2026. You guys remember our theme? So we're into May now. By now, you're starting to forget the theme of the year. But it's love the Lord your God from the Shema, right? From the ancient Jewish prayer, the Shema, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You remember that? So I want to give you a little refresh right there. So our series is to look at how the early church lived out the Shema in the ways that they loved one another. And so I loved both those past lessons. I got to listen to CJ's. I was out in Boston, so I listened to it this week. And it was very, very encouraging about growing spiritually. And the week before was about really how God has a plan to reach all people from all backgrounds, all the outsiders, everybody you ever imagine. And Jeff shared some amazing stories. If you haven't heard that lesson, go back and listen to that one as well. But today, the title of the lesson is Love That Learns. Amen? Love that learns. So we're going to be studying from the book of Acts chapter 10. So you can open up your Bibles on your phone, or if you have a hard copy, or if you don't have either, I have most of the scriptures on the screen today. And I want to start by personally just sharing, it was well over 30 years ago that I was a seeker of God. Now, I had had a conversation with my roommate, a fraternity brother at UCLA, and in an average afternoon conversation, we started talking about, hey, do we ever think about spiritual things? And neither one of us thought we were thinking much about spiritual things in our early 20s. We're like, nah, I'm not thinking at all about it. And then my buddy, my fraternity brother's friend said, you know, God always asks people, if he's going to seek them, you're going to have to go for it with all you got, right? It's going to take all you got. And my roommate, he's like, Steve's one of those guys that if he ever really took some time, he'd go all in. And I was like, I don't know about that. I wasn't even thinking about it. Lo and behold, a week later, I'm down here in Manhattan Beach, and I was invited to a local Bible study by a guy who walks up and says, do you ever think about God? And I hadn't been thinking about him except for that conversation like a week earlier. I go, well, maybe. What do you do for a living? And he goes, well, I'm a doctor. And at the time, I was a stockbroker, so I was like, okay, well, why don't you give me your number? Maybe you could be a client. And I thought, and if you want to invite me to Bible study, maybe I'll be open. Lo and behold, he invited me to a Bible study. 2 days later, I went, and the rest is history. I changed my whole life. I never thought I would end up becoming a pastor, an evangelist, a preacher of the word full time. I never thought that was my plan. But God was working behind the scenes. And he's working behind the scenes in your life to help you learn something. Carrie and I have been on the West Side here now for over 7 years. It's great to be with everyone. And we're learning a lot. We've been through a lot. Our churches are learning a lot. I think over the past several years, one of the main lessons God has been sending the LA church, and me in particular, is that if I really want to see what he's doing, I need to slow down. I had the privilege of going on a sabbatical where I read multiple books about slowing down. I was talking to a brother early this morning. He goes, the message I'm getting from God is slow down. We cannot really connect with God if we're moving at such a fast pace. We can't see what he's doing behind the scenes. He's not leading us just to have more programs. We could start tons of programs in the church. But what he wants us to do is pay attention. A love that learns. And we're going to look into this text right now of Acts chapter 10, which is blow away at how God works behind the scenes in two individuals' lives to bring them both to a place of great victory. There's two massive conversions that go on in this chapter. The conversion of Cornelius, the centurion, the Roman centurion, and we're going to look at that. But maybe the more powerful conversion in Acts chapter 10 is the conversion of the Apostle Peter as his mind is opened up to God's plan to change the world. I realized something. I can be very active for God. I can fill my schedule with so many things to do and still miss what God wants to be doing through my life. I think a lot of us can be that way, right? We don't slow down enough. We're not paying attention. He absolutely is working, as Cain shared. He's working in the high and the low times in your life. And you got to be willing to slow down and figure out, God, what are you teaching? We have to observe. But you can't just only slow down. You've got to pay attention and then act on what you see him calling you to be or to become. Many of us want to see clearly, God, what is your will for my life? Sadly, oftentimes we assume that we already kind of know. All right, we've been in the church a long time. And so I know Cain shared about how you can feel those times of dryness in your spirituality. Oh, I've been here a long time. The services are the same schedule. I'm used to it. I've heard that verse before. And we have to be careful. We have to be really mindful that God always is peeling back the veil of truth to take us to the next step in our life. God is working all around you guys. He wants you to see the truth. He wants you to respond to the truth. He wants you to know what your plan and what his plan for the eternity of society and how they come together and how they're unveiled is for you right now. And I'm going to call all of us right now to really open our minds and begin to think, God, I know that you brought me here today to church, but maybe he brought someone else in this very room. You're not here just for you. Maybe you're actually here because there's somebody else that was brought. And you're going to see that that is how God works throughout the scriptures. Let's begin reading in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius! Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up to us as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. And in verse 6, it says he is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea in that city of Joppa. And so this is a very fascinating situation. We have a centurion. He's in the Roman Italian regiment in the city of Caesarea. In this location, it was a Roman administrative capital, a port where Rome could assert its influence. And we have Peter, he is on the roof of a house praying, and he is hanging out with a guy named Simon the Tanner. Now, why is this important? If you know what being a tanner is, it's you're working with dead skins, animal skins, right? Turning it into leather and different crafts and that type of thing. However, in Jewish law, That would make you impure if you're touching these dead animal skins. And so the fact that Peter is hanging out with him shows there's a little movement in his heart towards crossing some purity boundaries. But he has no idea how far God wants to take his thinking. See, God is working. He's working in Peter, who's on the roof of his house praying. And he's working in Cornelius' heart. He's looking at him. Now, Cornelius, as a Roman centurion, is a man of great influence. He is pure Roman, right? He's part of the Italian regiment. And it's interesting that Luke writes that in the text so you know, okay, this is just sort of barely an influential guy within the Roman culture. He's fully Roman. He's a leader. He's a man of standing. And so God is going to send Peter to him to open the doors to a new type of evangelism, right? You know, we heard from Jeff Walling about crossing the line, stepping across the line with the Ethiopian eunuch. But really, nobody understood that God's plan was for the church to be completely filled with Jews and Gentiles. They weren't fully understanding it at this time. And yet God was working powerfully behind the scenes, right? He had a plan, and he was moving Peter's heart just a little bit, hanging out with Simon the Tanner by the beach, on the roof, being willing to hang out with a guy that maybe others were not as willing to. And what's interesting, and we're going to find in the text, so interesting, is that the apostle Peter had, in chapter 9, just raised Tabitha from the dead. Of course, he's the one that preached in Acts 2, the sermon, the first, the blueprint of the beginning of the church. He's an apostle. Peter had walked on water. Peter was very faithful. Many of you in here are very faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. And yet, Peter had something to learn. He had something really big to learn, like, wow, wow, this is going to change all things. I believe God has those kinds of understandings for us to learn. And oftentimes, he'll give us a taste of the truth before we have a full understanding of it, right? Like my friend and his buddy who said, Steve, you're one of those guys that would go all in. And I was like, maybe that's true. What do you mean by that? And then all of a sudden I end up meeting this guy and learning the word of God. And my life just changes. It unfolds in a way I had never dreamed. God wants to do that multiple times in our life. Let's keep reading. God gives truth before full understanding oftentimes has set in. We find this in verse 9. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. This is after Cornelius had sent his servants to go get Peter, because in his vision, God told him, go get Peter. He's going to give you a message of how you're going to be saved. So Cornelius thought, I got to get this guy. He's going to teach me how to change all things, how to change my life, right? That's what happened to me. My whole life changed when the guy invited me out to learn the word of God. So Cornelius is told, send your servants to Joppa and get this guy, Peter. In the meantime, we see right here, it says, Peter went up on the roof to pray and he became hungry. It's interesting. Luke put that in the text, right? Why is that? Well, see, God's working even through mundane things to have a spiritual impact in our life. He wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. You guys ever fall into a trance when you're really hungry? I'm a little opposite. I fall into a trance after I've had a big carb-loaded meal, and I'm like dozed, and I'm like, I can sit on the couch, and I'm like half in, half out. Some people, if they don't eat, they're like in a trance. They're like, you know, what's that commercial? Like, you know, until they eat the Snickers bar, they're angry, right? That's a Snickers commercial, right? It's like you gotta come alive. You gotta get that food in your belly, or you're not thinking right. Well, he falls into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. I remember when John Markowski preached this one time. This blew me away, and I'm gonna show you a little picture of it. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. As he recounts the story, as he's telling it in chapter 11, I don't have the text, he says, he's telling the leaders of the church, he says, I looked into the sheet. So when I think about him looking into it, I started thinking about this picture. Maybe that's the first video screen in human history, right? Like here's this, Peter's on the roof and he looks into this sheet. I mean, it might've been the sheet and their actual, I don't know what it looked like, but this made sense. God knew someday he'd have the video screens and we'd understand it, right? So that's a very interesting idea of how God can, I mean, this is just a blowaway thought, right? So you can take that wherever you want it, but God had a vision And he gives this to Peter, but he doesn't totally understand it, right? He doesn't get it. In verse 12, it says, it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds, which of course were against the Jewish purity laws. If those kinds of animals even touched a different animal, you couldn't eat it. And then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Okay, so God tells him to do something, and he says, no, God, you're wrong. Do you ever do that? He tells you to do something, you're like, no, he must not mean that. Hey, go meet that guy. You get a little voice in the back of your head. Go talk to that girl. Hey, you should make this phone call. No, I can't. No, I'm not doing that. What if I get embarrassed? What if they're mean to me? What if they don't want to hear it? Right? We have all these thoughts in our heads. No, I won't make that call. It'll be weird. It might cause uncomfortability in my life. And we can be just like Peter. No, surely not. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up to heaven. Fascinating. What does it mean? He's hungry. He's in a trance, and he sees this vision, and he's on the roof of the house. God's trying to tell him something, but he doesn't completely get it, right? He doesn't totally get it. Oftentimes, God will give a truth, and we just don't fully understand it. And I want to ask each of us today the one thing I want us to know is that God is working in your life to show you the next step of both maturity, yes, but also the next step of closeness to God, the next step of your impact on this world while you're walking around on earth. There's a next step for you. Do you believe that even if you've been in the church like me over 30 years? Or maybe like some of you, we have some young Pepperdine students, it's been a couple months. God has a next step for you. And the one thing I want you to do is to be paying attention to God's prompting in your life. Sometimes it's super obvious. With Peter, here's what happens. He'll create an opportunity, right? God creates a learning moment through opportunity. While Peter was wondering what the meaning of the vision, right? He's wondering. The Greek word is like he's really ruminating on what could this mean? What's the interpretation of the text? How do I figure this out? What did you mean by this, God? Surely, and he's trying to figure it out. God told him to kill and eat. That doesn't make sense in his narrative, what he's used to, the things he's used to, the way he's used to living his life, the way he's used to living out his Christianity. This is breaking from the norms. He's not understanding it. The men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. So he's fairly wealthy at an outdoor gate, and they stop at the gate and they call out asking, hey, is there a guy here, Simon, hanging out with the tanner known as Peter? And in fact, there was. It was Peter himself. And he comes down and he says, yeah, it's me, 100%, right? I'm here. We read in verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit. So here's these guys calling out, or maybe it was just right before that. It says, as he's in this vision, it says, Simon, God tells him, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. I mean, that's pretty specific, right? Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Wow. So he wants to change Cornelius's life and his whole family and the destiny of all the Gentiles, those not born Jewish, not according to the laws of Old Testament, Mosaic law. He's going to open an entrance for a whole huge crop of people, which includes most of us in here, right? Walk through this door, are not of Jewish descent. But Peter didn't quite understand it. But then God said, hey, even in his prayer, God told him, when you're praying, does God ever tell you stuff in your mind? He puts a little thought in your mind. Oftentimes when I'm praying, a lot of men that are deep in their walk with God, many of the best spiritual formation writers, they say, praying is not talking to God. Praying is actually listening to God. While you're praying, God will begin to put things in your heart and mind. And he told Peter, go downstairs, right? He tells him, here's what's going to happen. These guys are going to show you something. There's a need for you. See, the opportunity is the explanation
to the lesson,
the opportunity. A lot of times we cannot understand spiritual principles until we act, right? We learn by doing. We can have so much head knowledge, but until we act on the promptings of the Spirit, we don't really learn it. We don't see what God's intention for us really is. He creates the learning opportunity, and we are to walk through those doors. It's an opportunity to learn something amazing by doing something amazing. And we learn that learning happens through obedience. Peter invites them in. Now, mind you, these were Gentiles. He could tell these were Roman Gentiles. And he invites them in. Of course, it wasn't even his house, but I'm sure he had approval to do that. That's a small step. Number two, he allows them to stay, and they leave on a trip, and he's going to go see Cornelius and his whole household. That's the next step. And when he gets there, you'll see he enters into the home, yes, of Cornelius and his family, who, according to Jewish custom, Jews were not supposed to enter in and eat with Gentiles. It was against their purity laws. It was the inside and outside. And oftentimes we in our heart have insider outsider preconditions built into us. Hey, those people, they're doing it the right way. Those are the saved people. Those are the people that have it down. Or hey, we don't really fit over there. Sometimes we feel like we're the outsider. We don't fit there. But you see, Peter didn't learn the lesson on the rooftop when he saw the vision. He learned it while he was out on the road. Learning happens through obedience. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." And I think that's a message for all of us, right? All are included. All are welcome. All backgrounds. God is the God of all. Amen? He's the God of all. And so he goes ahead and he responds, and it's incredible to see what ends up happening. See, here's how God teaches you. God confirms when we step out. When Peter was still speaking, so he tells them the gospel. I'm not going to read the part. He tells them Jesus died for them. He resurrected. He preached. He taught. He healed. He preached the gospel of peace is what Peter calls it. Jesus preached the gospel of peace. And then it says in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Even on the Gentiles. See, God teaches in a specific way. He stirs you. He speaks to you. He stretches you. And he sends you, and then in the middle of all that, usually learning happens where you find the surprise. God was going to pull down the walls and the barriers to the Gentiles in an amazing way. First of all, he had to convert Peter so he could see his ultimate plan. And Peter says, "I now see that God does not show favoritism, but accepts all men from everywhere." So the question today for each of us that I want you to think about is this. Who is at your gate? Who has God sent into your life, maybe standing out at the gate, reaching out to you? Maybe it's somebody here today. Maybe it's a voice you've heard, a sermon you've heard, a person you know, a relative you know. Maybe it's a conversation that you've been avoiding. Maybe it's a nudge to reach out to somebody that's been on your heart. See, God is working behind the scenes, both in your life and in the lives of the people he wants you to meet. Is there a prompting to include someone? A situation that stretches you? Church, God is stretching our congregation. I know he is. Let me tell you how I know he's stretching our congregation. Because we as a Westside, I've been here 7 years, and we've been through a lot in our society, haven't we? We've seen a lot of conflict. The polarization of our world creeps into the church all too easily. I've seen it. And we can become reactive. I don't know if you did the homework that CJ gave last Sunday on his sermon. He always gives us an awesome QR code. And it was an article he wanted us to read about maturity. Growing from being an infant to an adolescent to an adult. And one of the keys to adulthood is not reacting. Not swinging too far one side or the other side. But church, we oftentimes react in our hearts and our minds. And we're going to be doing some work in here, Westside, because God wants to grow the church amazingly. But he's not going to allow us to grow if we're not completely healthy. And health comes from maturity, slowing down and paying attention. What are we allowing to deeply influence us the most? I have three things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be doing some polarity management workshops because there's all kinds of godly tensions and polarities that are good and right that we live into as a church. And we don't eliminate the polarity. We don't eliminate the tension. We live within these tensions that God provides. And it's all throughout the scriptures, over and over, right? You see it in all kinds of ways. Are we an old school church or a new school church? We're a both school church. We hold to ancient paths, and yet we innovate, just as God does. Three areas of maturity that I think we've been a little immature in. We're going to eventually get to this, but I'm going to just kind of whet your appetite a little bit. Here's some areas for you to think about, church. Things I think we in here need to grow in. If you're visiting, this is new for you. This little point here, this is for the members that have been coming for a while. I don't want us to be immature and have a newsed shape reactivity, but to set our minds on things above. The world is filled with headlines that can take us left, right, up, down, can discourage us, can be deeply painful to our soul, and we need to empathize and care, but we can't be immature and overreactive. I think some of us, we end up getting politically identified too much with which side we lean on. And there can be a fusion of what we feel strongly about. And it can bother us if something is said by somebody, especially from the pulpit, if something's said and it doesn't jive with the people we've fused ourselves to. And that is not God's way. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Let's not be immature when that kind of thing happens. Let's not overreact. Hey, we got one king that we follow. Amen. Some stuff might be said to you in conversation and it upsets you. Don't be mature. Don't overreact. Don't swing too far one way or other. God has a plan for us to mature, to save the countless lost souls in Los Angeles. Amen. And this city can be a reactive city. Let's not join that. And let's not be pain avoiders. Let's lean in when our brother hurts, when our sister hurts, when things damage our souls and hurt our souls, when we know maybe the headlines are hurting our brothers and sisters. Let's lean in and ask, hey, how are you doing? Let's care for one another deeply. And maybe a fourth thing, all of us need to have the attitude of, hey, I have a sober estimate of who I am. I don't know if my perspective is the right perspective. I'm willing to have my mind changed. That's how we have true unity in the church, and that's what's going to strengthen this church. Amen? God is leading us somewhere great. I want you to realize something. Let me say this. It's very interesting. I'm not going to read the text, but in Galatians 2, you find this text where Peter gets rebuked by the Apostle Paul. And you know what he gets rebuked for? He gets rebuked because he stopped sitting with the Judaizers who believed that you can't eat with Gentiles. Or that, you know, necessarily, they didn't necessarily believe that, but they believed you had to be circumcised and follow the Mosaic law. And they were very strong in their opinion. No, if they're going to become Christians, they knew that it could become Christians because Peter had told them the story about how God said kill and eat. And he explained, yeah, they're accepted. But they were teaching everybody had to become a Jew first before he became a Christian. And so Peter kind of sided with them. And then Paul had rebuked Peter in Galatians 2 and said, Peter, what are you doing? Okay, historians say that happened after the text that we're reading and maybe before Acts chapter 15. In fact, Acts chapter 15, the first verse, talks about how there was a sharp dispute that Paul pushed back against, hey, you don't have to become a Jew first. But even Peter was sort of swayed to think, well, I'm not sure. Or, you know, he was caught between some polarity. He was caught between the polarity of, I want to convert more Jews and more Gentiles. So to the Jews, like Paul, he wants to become like a Jew. And to the Gentiles, he wanted to become like a Gentile. He wanted to relate. Maybe that was his thing. He didn't have a bad theology, but he also had to mature. At every stage, you have to mature. Amen, church? Even the Apostle Peter had to mature. So today, one thing to know, God is leading you to your next step. He's leading you to something amazing. And my challenge for each of us today is to pay attention to God's prompting and act on them faithfully. If we do that, church, God's going to unveil things to you never imagined. I could tell you story after story. I told you a little bit my conversion story. I see it every day. One little thing, I'm not going to share exact details, but I took my wife away for a little getaway. It was random. It was last minute. I needed, our marriage needed some extra help. I was like, I'm going to get her away. And we went and saw the show. And when we're at the show, we ran into somebody we hadn't seen in 2 years. Somebody that friends had been praying for daily. And we thought, man, there's like 70,000 people in here. And Carrie had just said, we usually meet somebody when we go to things like this. I said, okay. And we met this one individual. I'm not going to share right now the details of it. But it was a miracle. Somebody we've been praying for. Somebody we've been caring about. We're like, wow, God is opening doors. He's always working behind the scenes. People you meet, people you see. I believe God's fruitfulness and his desire for fruitfulness is going on no matter what we do. Even when we're maybe not doing our best spiritually, he's still working. There's a step for you to take. Pay attention. Look for it. And act faithfully when God prompts. Amen. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.